Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global, that's right, she said Global, Global Happiness Specialist, Inner Peace Practitioner. I'm going to throw in Oracle, but most importantly, a student, an ongoing student, always learning, always in class, no vacations, no time off. There's always something to do. There's always something to discover. There's always something to learn and grow from. Oh, and where are all the lessons found? painfully, all in the mirror. This show, The Truth About Happiness, this is The Truth About Happiness. And when I talk about, when I say happiness, let me be very clear. It's not something happens and now I'm happy. No, this is a foundational vibration, personal vibration. It is the vibration of inner peace. It is a vibration of contentment. Everyone can agree. Well, not everyone, but the majority of people can agree. This vibration of contentment, that's what I'm talking about. How do we experience more of that? How do we experience more of that vibration of contentment? And that's what I call happiness. That's what I label happiness. It has nothing to do with anything external. It is what you practice, what are you rooted in, and quite frankly, are you buying into the stories? You know those stories in your head, the doom and gloom stories. Something's wrong with this moment. This moment isn't enough. This present moment isn't enough. Something needs to change in order for me to be happy. Something needs to manifest in order for me to be happy. No, this show, what I share is anything outside, anything external has nothing to do with your internal state of being. The good news is, my dear listeners, the good news is happiness is a practice skill. Just like any other practice, just like any other skill. The more you practice what, Rebecca? Thank you for asking. You practice eliminating the program behaviors that have been proven to subtract from your peace, from your inner peace and your happiness. I'm up to 54. You know, I think I have two more that I can add, but I'm going to have to. Yeah, think about it. There's two more program behaviors. I wonder if they're already listed here. Yeah, two more program behaviors, and one of them is paying attention to numbers, caring about numbers. How much is in the bank? How many likes? Caring about the numbers. The numbers. That is going to subtract from your happiness. If the numbers matter, how about practicing letting go of all the numbers? I've shared this story before, and before I go on, to contact me live, if you want to speak with me live, you can call in. The number is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619, and you can speak with me live, and or just ask to come up if you're on Wisdom. What's up, Terry? Back to the program behaviors, and this is just a brief introduction. I'm getting new followers all the time. I don't know how these people find me, but new followers, so I get a lot of the same questions. And so forgive me for the first couple of minutes where I review what this show is and who the hell am I. When I talk about happiness and I say happiness is a practice skill, that is the good news. Anyone that is committed, that is focused, that wants to prioritize this thing we call happiness, this vibration of contentment, it's a practice skill. And so the first part of the practice is gradually eliminating all of those behaviors. I said I'm up to 54, maybe 55 now, gradually eliminating the behaviors, the programmed behaviors that have been proven to subtract from your happiness. You know, behaviors like taking things personally, worrying, having fear, being impatient, rushing, blaming anyone or your circumstances for how you're feeling, or comparing yourself to someone else, talking negatively about somebody else. Oh, my goodness. What? Talk about an epidemic. I used to do that. It was one of my favorite things to do, talk negatively about someone else. Or a community, or a side. And I'm here to tell you that in the moment where it is, and I'm just speaking for myself, in the moment where, yeah, it seemed interesting, it seemed fun, it seemed engaging, no. Every time I'm judging or looking at someone else and making a judgment, I might as well drink poison and shoot myself in the foot. It has nothing to do with the happiness when I talk about judging someone else or pointing the finger at someone else or some other people and coming up with a conclusion that isn't positive. Oh, it's the worst. It's so much more fun. My ego loves noticing what other people are doing. Why? Well, if I'm criticizing someone else, guess what? I'm not doing that behavior, so I must be, I don't want to say it, can't say it, don't want to say it, better. So the practice is ongoing, constant. And when I say looking in the mirror, there is nobody else in that mirror but you. And what I also share is you can lie to as many people as you want and still have inner peace. But when you start lying to yourself, when you look in the mirror when I say lying, not admitting to, and let me use myself as an example, not admitting to how many times I engage my ego. If I'm running off with the stories in my head about others and what they're doing and why they could be doing something else and they could be better, I already know that type of behavior, number one, is the program. Number two, it becomes habitual. It becomes an addiction to allow, I'm speaking for myself, to allow my ego to take over the day, to take over a moment, to keep me in the past or the future. No way, ego, no. Now, there's no resistance to it, but the practice is to acknowledge, be aware. I'm aware of what my ego is doing. I'm definitely aware. And just to say, ego, I know that whatever I'm experiencing, whatever it is, however it feels, is there to serve me. I know whatever is happening, whatever comes before me, whatever is dropped in my lap, it's there to serve me. I know that, I believe that, I trust that, next moment. Woo! I don't even know where I am. Let me look at my notes. Okay, the definition of happiness, I'm still doing the introduction. My definition of happiness is the ability to vibrate an energy of peace regardless of what happens, regardless of the storms in life, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what happens. My vibration is contentment. It's nothing to do with what happens. And that is a practice. And it's not easy, but I promise you, the more you practice, the more committed you are to the practice. And you know this, consistency, committed. If vibrating contentment is important, then you will actively practice eliminating the program behaviors. Let me get to today's topic. Well, let me ask you these questions before I get to today's topic. On a scale from 1 to 10, how important is happiness in your life? From 1 to 10. It's okay to say 9 or 8 or 7 or 5 or 2. It's okay. All of it. But if you answer anything less than 10, know that that is going to be your result or your outcome. There's nothing wrong with not prioritizing this vibration of contentment. I know there's other things to do. There's other priorities. I realize all of that. So whatever you practice and how often and how committed you are to practicing eliminating program behaviors, not just talking about eliminating them, actually making an effort to be so mindful and so aware that before you even open your mouth, especially if you're in the presence of someone else, whether it's one person or 500 people, before you even open your mouth, you make a decision. Is this going to cause drama or is this going to cause peace? Is this going to create drama or peace? It's really very simple. And the behaviors, when I say your personal, when your behaviors start shifting, your energy starts shifting. You can feel the difference. You can feel the difference between feeling heavy, solid, rigid, or feeling light and airy and open. There's a big difference. So on a scale from 1 to 10, how important is happiness in your life? And then what's your definition of happiness? And what or who is subtracting from your happiness today? Are you as happy when you're faced with life's inevitable challenges? Can other people hurt your feelings? Can other people offend you? Can other people disappoint you? Do you blame other people for how you're feeling? Do you blame your circumstances for how you're feeling? When I teach the classes, I'm currently in my third semester at one of the colleges. Actually, it's the only college in town. Woo! Well, it is. It is. It's the only college in town. Yeah, that's true. Anyway, and it's called The Truth About Happiness. And so I give homework. I give out homework. And, of course, the students aren't required to turn them in, only if they're inspired. So these questions came back, and I want to share with you some of the answers, which are fascinating. The topic today is, who's behind the curtain? What's behind the curtain? What does that mean? Thank you for asking. What's behind the curtain is, what happens when the sun isn't shining? What happens to you when the sun isn't shining and the birds aren't singing and the flowers aren't blooming? In other words, when life challenges you. Who are you when you're challenged? I contend that you only know someone when they're challenged. It's easy. It's so easy to be nice and fun and conversational when, oh, everything's, oh, we just met. No, I want to know who you are when you're challenged. That tells me, oh, okay, click that off, click this off, click that off. Okay. I wonder if you can hear the button. You know, it, being a one-woman show, I've got to click this, move that down, volume up, volume down. Okay, back to the show. Where was I? And I really have to think about it. Where was I? What was I talking about? Hold on, hold on. Before I was so rudely interrupted. Oh, anyone can be happy when the sun is shining. So who are you when you're challenged? And that's one of the reasons why when I meet people, when I meet a new person, the question I ask is what one of my favorite questions to ask someone new is what makes you angry? What makes you angry? What bothers you? What pushes your buttons? What triggers you? So that, and the answer gives me an idea of who this person is right off the bat. I'm not one of those I'm not one of those people that can read a person just by looking into their eyes, like my best friend can do that. He can read you without even talking to you. He just looks in your eyes and just gives you, you know, a whole analysis. I'm talking about conscious analysis, not a medical. Whole conscious analysis. And one of the, this is what, almost 30 years ago? Yeah, when he met me, he looked into my eyes and he said, all I saw was drama. All I felt was drama from you. And he was right. Oh, I was living that life of drama. Peace, I was uncomfortable with it. Having peace, what? Why? How boring. How boring. No. I was into action, into arguing, into always being right, into judging, into knowing everything. Now, it may feel like or seem like I know I'm a know-it-all, but on this particular topic, the truth about happiness, I do know a lot. I'm not claiming to know everything, but that's my only topic. Well, that's not true. I do exercise too. Back off. Let me get off. I'm off the topic. Let me get back on the topic. Back to who are you when you're challenged? One of the things I hear from people that are healers, coaches, gurus, whatever, leaders, life coaches. But who are you when the sun isn't shining? Who are you when life challenges you? And so that's what I wanted to ask, and that's what I wanted to talk about today. One of my favorite quotes from Abraham Hicks is, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. You cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. And with me, I can feel, scratch that. I know when my ego tries to take over, because all I will hear is stories of discontent, stories of discontentment, stories about what someone else could have done, stories about what I'm not doing, what I'm not, stories that attack my productiveness, stories that why am I missing this word? Hold on a second. It's coming to me. Hold on. Stories that confirm the fact what my ego likes to say, that you're lazy. Stories that confirm you're lazy. See, this struggle, and I'll let you up in just a second, Wisdom, this struggle back and forth of criticizing self, it is a program, criticizing self, making judgments of self. It is a program that is so deep. It is so deep. This is how deep the ego gets. You ready for this? The ego criticizes an identity that the ego created. So it is so tricky. It's so slick, weaving in and out of what's real and what's the truth. Criticizing an identity that it created? Huh? So the practice is, and let this person up. Hold on a second, Terry. Yes, my dear Terry. Come on up, Terry. So the practice is letting go of the stories. Greetings, Terry. Welcome to Reality Spirituality again. Oh, look at this. Is this a new picture of you? Uh-oh, hold on. I can't hear you. Hold on. You're very, very faint. Are you on a speakerphone? Let's see. Hold on. Let me do this again. Let me do this. Let me see. Yeah, he was very, very, very faint. Let's try it again. If it doesn't succeed, try again. Scratch the try. I don't use the word try. Practice. Hello? Yeah, you know what? You're very, very faint. I have to lift up the phone to hear you.
Anyone I get very close to my microphone on my phone that I can see a blue circle, funny.
Okay,
I'll do what I can. We've just had a full moon and things are
going to be maybe weird. Let's see, let me try this. No, I have the volume all the way up, Terry. I'm checking my volume here.
Right. Yes. For no reason, I was actually relaying it through my Bluetooth speaker, you know, because I can hear people. As you said, I was very faint, but a lot of talkers on Wisdom seem to have very poor audio, and sometimes I thought, well, if I put it on my Bluetooth speaker, I can hear it much louder. Not when I'm actually a guest on somebody's talk, so hopefully you can hear me.
You are loud and clear, yes. What's your question or comment, please?
I've got a comment, yeah, because as we know, we're humans, and I regard any kind of person who challenges me, triggers me now as a test. Because I did used to get a bit angry in the past, and I did used to hold a grudge, believe it. And I realized that all I was doing was allowing those people to live rent-free in my head. I'm Rebecca.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, listen, I can hold a grudge longer than anyone. I broke the Guinness Book of Records of grudge holding.
Yeah.
So my isn't it? Isn't it interesting, even if somebody, so a question for you, even if somebody does you wrong right now in the moment, it's easy for me, and I wanted to ask you too, to, okay, feel whatever I'm feeling, but in a very short time, just to let it go.
Yeah, because ultimately, all you are doing is, you're talking about happiness. You are disturbing and destroying your happiness when you have the anger towards somebody or holding a grudge. And, I learned the lesson the hard way. It took me a good few years, Rebecca. It did. Anybody who claims to know it all when they're in their 20s, and, you know, this is why I'm, I look at them like, how can I put it? I look at them like it's easy to love folly in a child. And when I see somebody in their 20s trying to tell me the way life is, and I sort of look at them, smile and nod and sort of knowingly, you know, because it's no good trying to argue with them. They need to have their own life experience and come to a certain level of understanding. And, because people, if you're in any kind of social situation where there's a group of people, right, you'd always get somebody who thinks he knows it all, or she knows it all even. And, they love the sound of their own voice, don't they, Rebecca? And, they used to trigger me as well. But now, again, I've I'm more of an observer, if you understand what I mean. I think you are as well now. You're an observer. You realize you're in the world, but hang on a second. No, sorry, you are the world, but you're not in the world. Have I got that right? I'm looking confused with that.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. You're in the world.
Yeah.
You're in the world, but not of the world. So I wanted to ask you a question, and I definitely know some people may accuse me of liking the sound of my own voice, but the interesting thing is, what are your current challenges? You know, we always, as opposed to just talking,
It's very easy to answer.
Yeah.
No, it's very easy to answer. I do still have to work for a living. I'm in my early 60s, and I've got a few years that I can retire. So I'm constantly being challenged in my day job.
Please come back up. I want to hear your challenge. Yeah. And so, see, one of the things I do on the show, and I like to do on the show, is offer solutions. And by us, you, me, Terry, anyone listening, sharing, just like Terry, sharing their own personal challenges, we're more alike than we are different. So sharing the challenges and then coming up with a different perspective is all that I do. And it's not about being right. It's about, oh, Rebecca, I just never thought about it like that. Or I get that from you also. So please, Terry, thank you so much for coming back and sharing one of your challenges. You said a co-worker challenge. Please share. Yeah,
the co-worker challenge. Yeah, it goes back to what I was saying earlier about holding grudges. And, if I didn't resonate with somebody, like, say, even 10 years ago, I would think, right, I'm not going to go out of my way. I have to work with that person. I'm not going to go out of my way to talk to them unless I have to. And that, But then, funny enough, the more I did that, guess what, Rebecca? They was in my bloody face nearly every moment of the day. And I thought, it took me a few years to realize this is trying to teach me a lesson. Oh, my God, yeah. And but once I realized, what did I have to deal with this person? And now this is part of my life lesson at this point in time.
So what are your lessons today? I mean, not lessons. What are your challenges today? What are they now? What are your current challenges?
Well, as I say, I've had all kinds of challenges throughout my life. Earning a living, making money. I was at my lowest peak. I was out of work and living in one room. And, I was living on baked beans out of a can, basically. And, that was a bit of a learning curve for me.
Mm. So can you share, one of the things I know about you is you're very introspective. So share with the audience, you said lowest point, so that's, put your seatbelt on. So that's a judgment, lowest point, because lowest.
Yes.
So tell me something.
No. You're absolutely 100% correct, Rebecca. I'm only using this language because it's what people understand. It was probably my highest point.
Thank you. That's what I want to hear, your perspective on what was good about it. Let's go.
What was good about it is because it changed me forever. But it took a few years. And that's when the synchronicities happened in my life. And I was guided to certain books and things like that. And we have a book chain in the UK called Waterstones. And when I was out unemployed and out of work and living in one room, a chance happened to walk in and I've come across the spiritual new age section, the health section. And I saw a few books, and I think one of them was the Celestine Prophecy. And I think I also discovered The Conversation with God by Neil Donald Walsh as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big turning point in my life because I'd always been a sort of a spiritual person. I'd always been fascinated. Well, even when I was a boy, I was fascinated by the stars and the universe and things like that. But whenever I was forced to go to church, I always thought, this doesn't sound right for me.
Mm.
It, yeah, And yeah, so and then once I sort of started having a new awareness and the synchronicities that appeared in my life, I thought, wow, I wasn't crazy all along. I knew there was a reason why it never resonated with me, because it was a lot of bullshit, basically.
Well, let me say this, because some people, it's not bullshit. So some people are very into and believe and are guided by religion. So I understand exactly what you're saying. It's not really fitting or being compatible with you.
It was limiting beliefs, Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
Limiting beliefs. Yeah, it was a program, a dogma.
Yes, yes, but the thing is, especially, I'm just going to speak for myself here, one of the things is I understand exactly what you're saying. For me, though, to look out, I know these people, when I say these people, that are religious and go to church and all of that, that's what they need to do, and so the judgment I'm talking about for myself, the judgment that there's something off with that or there is bullshit, and I promise you I get it. I promise you. Oh, but the work, the practice, which is so difficult, oh, my goodness, the practice which is so difficult is, the difficult practice is acceptance of all the people and acceptance of the bullshit. Oh, my goodness. The sun shines on the serial killer and the Pope. And that's enough, meaning that my responsibility, my job, is to accept even the bullshit. Oh, that's so difficult for my ego to do. See, my ego is the one, here we go, my ego is the one that calls bullshit out. The universe doesn't say, that's bullshit. What a great example, Terry. You follow me? So there's two entities here. When the topic today is, who are you or what are you behind the curtain? And the practice, My personal practice is to be so aware of who's talking, who is in charge of the words coming out of my mouth, who is responsible for the words coming out of my mouth, and I promise you I get it. But if I said that what people are following, what people believe, what people focus on is bullshit. I promise you, I could do it in a minute. I could say it in a minute. But it would be coming from my ego. And see, that's the difference. And that is the fine line. Oh, my goodness. It is a plank. It is a plank that I walk on all the time, especially in a public setting like this. So my ego can say, yes, you're bullshit and whatever you're doing is bullshit, and but my consciousness, my higher self, the entity that's living inside of me, expressing through this human form, the universal self, the God self, can't call bullshit. Damn it. Can't call bullshit. You see the difference? What a great example. Let me get back to the topic. Letting go of the story. Okay, so when your buttons are pushed, and when I talk about this show, it's really about sharing, this is my challenge. What's the solution? This show is about challenges and solutions. And when I share a story, it's only to get back to that place of solutions. And so I am better serving sharing problems, solutions. Here we go. This is one of the questions that I received from homework. Who or what is subtracting from your happiness today? Oh, this is a good one. Ex-husband. Now, when you say that a person or a circumstance is the reason for your unhappiness, you already know intuitively, figuratively, responsibilitatively, you already know that you're on a different path other than the past piece. How about that one? So you already know when you say that it's another person, an ex-husband, a co-worker, or a neighbor, husband, wife, children, parents, when another entity is the cause of your anxiety, or pain, suffering, unhappiness, resentment, anger, whatever, you already know that premise is off. Your feelings, your emotions, your vibrations have nothing to do with what happens externally. Your triggers, your buttons, your anger are all programs. Being triggered is a program from the past. Getting angry is a program. And everything lines up. The stories line up to support the program. That's why the stories that the ego just loves to tell, and they sound so convincing, and it's so true, and it's so right, and it's so justified that I'm upset because A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way down to Z. Who are you behind the curtain? I was having a conversation with someone new, and it was really interesting because I got triggered. Here we go. I got triggered, and here's the story behind my trigger. Here we go. See, there's always a story that the ego comes up with to justify the trigger. You follow how wacky this whole thing is unless you're really aware? So what happened? Oh. This gentleman was talking, and ooh-wee, one of my triggers, and I'm smiling because I've eliminated a lot of triggers, but you know, some just hang on, and the reason why the triggers hang on, I'm speaking for myself, is because the ego needs to be fed. My ego, when I'm triggered, my ego is being fed. When I'm triggered, when I'm bothered, when my buttons are pushed, when I'm angry, my ego is just getting fed. Now, it's not getting fed because I'm triggered. It's not getting fed because of the anger. It's getting fed because of the stories that I use to justify or to explain the trigger. See, that's a big difference. You can feel whatever you're feeling. This isn't about stop feeling a certain way or stop getting triggered, but the story behind it, that's the hook. That's the you're pulling you in, believing the story behind the trigger. So let me see. Okay, so this is what happened. We were chatting, and this gentleman, you see, one of the things that I practice all the time is knowing your audience. And when you ask somebody what makes them angry, or you dig deep and you ask them the difficult questions, this is another question that I ask people, which is I think it's fascinating and interesting to ask. People, just so I can get to know them quickly, because I just don't have that gift that I can read you sight unseen. I don't have the gift. I have to ask the questions. And my question is what would your ex, what would your ex say? What would your ex complain about you? What would your ex say? What would your ex complain about you? What were the five biggest complaints your ex had about you? So now that takes me, that gives me, that shows me whether or not a person can, number one, admit or say what someone else is criticizing them about. And I'm not saying it could be true, but are you able to say, well, this person complained about these five things and share it? I'm on the phone with someone that I just met a couple of days. And one of the things that triggers me is, triggers my ego, okay, is over-explaining. Oh, my goodness. This, for an example, it actually comes in a conversation. For an example. And then the person starts explaining. Okay, I got the first example. Thank you for the explanation. But then there's a, I'll give you another example. Isn't it funny? I mean, if you really think about it, triggers and buttons being pushed, and when you share them, they're really funny. They are. I mean, come on, they're hysterical. I get upset. I get triggered because the person said, I'll give you another example. And now my hand goes to my forehead. My eyes roll to the back of my head. And I say, oh, please, not another example. I got it the first example. And it runs through with that. It runs through with customer service. It is just it is something that is, my ego hasn't been able to let go of that yet. Now, I can say that there are times, there are moments when my vibration and energy is so at such a level of peace that you can give me 100 examples and I could just sit there and listen to all of them. There are times when that happens. But it wasn't 2 days ago. And that comes back to knowing yourself. That comes back to knowing yourself. So let's get back to the questions. And who are you? Who are you? This show is about the journey and how to experience more contentment on the journey, not at the end of the journey, not at the during the journey. Okay. Can other people hurt your feelings? Yes. Well, can other people hurt your feelings? That's another program. We were all programmed to believe that other people can hurt your feelings, even to the point of, well, you don't want to offend someone. You don't want to say this because someone's feelings may be hurt. Well, I'm here to tell you that that is just one of the biggest lies ever told. No one can hurt your feelings. That's a program. And when you were born, 3 months, 6 months, a year, year and a half, you could have been told, said, talked about, you could have been executed with words, and your feelings would not have been hurt. You're a loser. You're not going to accomplish anything. You're ugly. You're stupid. Your life is going to be wasted because you're a waste. Oh my gosh. Guess what? The 6 month old, the baby that's a year old could care less. Could not even get it. That doesn't even puncture, doesn't even penetrate. So when your feelings are hurt, know that it's because of a program that you believe your feelings can be hurt by something said, by something happening. No. And so when people have told me, well, you know, my feelings were hurt, I would say, I don't have that much power. So one of the biggest lies that is being that is permeated throughout the world is that someone else can hurt your feelings and someone else can offend you. Oh, when this book comes out, Program for Unhappiness, oh, it's going to be a uproar. People will be rioting in the streets. My feelings are my responsibility. You can't offend me. Can you imagine that kind of a picket? You can't offend me. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, I cannot be offended. Can we start a club like that, please? And if you've listened to the show, you've heard the story a million times. I was called toxic, selfish, a waste of skin. A waste of skin. I've contributed zero to this planet. I'm useless. What I practice can't be measured. Therefore, I'm worthless, worthless, useless, selfish, toxic. And all I could do was laugh. That's the practice. Nothing anyone says to you or about you is personal. This is an impersonal world, so let's get back to the challenges. And the stories, okay. I hear this. I talk to a lot of people throughout the week. I don't know if you downloaded the OWL app. Download the OWL app, O-W-W-L-L, O-W-W-L-L. You can download it for free. It's on the Apple. It's on the Apple. It's in the Apple Store. And it's a free download. If you use my code, if you listen to the show, you know I never really do in the middle of the show sponsorship, but I'm just sharing this right now. You can use the code RLN, my initials, and then you get $10 to make calls. So my point is I speak to a lot of people throughout the week on this app, on this OWL app. And one of the things that is just a constant, constant, it keeps happening over and over and over again, people sharing what's behind the curtain, people sharing their, nothing that's on the surface, talking about, let me see, how do I, deep questions, that's what I want to say, deep questions that require some more introspection, questions that require more awareness, questions that require you to say, yes, that's what I've behaved like, that's what I've done, that's what I said. I'm here to tell you that however you've behaved, however you've responded, however you've reacted to any situation, seatbelt on, you're going to get an A+. I've said it before. I've said it a million times. Some people are uncomfortable about receiving an A+. But I'm here to tell you that we are all doing the best we can in every single moment. And if something happened in your life in the past, it happened for a reason. It served you for a reason. Even the most traumatic experiences. I had a woman that I spoke with a few days ago, and I've had people, you know, women talk to me about being raped, and I've heard a lot of stories. And this woman, but I've never heard a woman share this story about being raped, and she says, but now I can teach, now I can share, now I can assist with letting go of the shame that comes behind that, even saying it. I mean, I was so, I'm scratching now, oh. I was so moved by her not so much the story of what happened, the trauma, but how this woman, after years, is now wearing this on her sleeve and saying, yes, this happened to me, and if it happened to you, this is what I want to share. I mean, I was lost for words with her instant, what she decided to put in front of her, which was focus on, oh my goodness, it's even hard to say, which was focused on what was, how it served her. I can't say it. She could say it. It's difficult for me how it served, because I couldn't even relate, how it served her and how she's sharing, how she is able to share something that is one of the most horrific things that could happen to anyone, woman, man, or child, to be violated and then to come up with, but this served me. Yeah, I was really overwhelmed with emotion hearing her story. But back to, and that's what I'm talking about. Who are you behind the curtain? This thing, this emotion, feeling that we call shame, can only live and survive in the darkness when it's dark and damp, and no one's around, and no one exposes it, and it's not out in the open. This thing called shame has a hard time living in the light, has a hard time surviving in the open. I don't even know how I got on that topic, but I just wanted to share that. This thing about shame is for me, all the shame in my life, letting everybody know what happened. And guess what? Not saying that it disappears, but it definitely softens. And softening an emotion, or softening a feeling, softening it to the point of eventually it evaporates. Back to the question. Hold on a second. Let me find it. Can other people hurt your feelings? Can other people disappoint you? Well, there's one practice that when you do practice this, you will never be disappointed. You'll never be disappointed. You will never have your heart broken again, ever again, if you practice this one thing. And I get the pushback, oh, that's hard, Rebecca, that's hard. Okay, yes, it may be difficult at first. Like any practice, is difficult at first, but the more you do it, the more consistent you are, guess what? Never have your heart broken, never be disappointed ever again in your life? Huh? That's the thing? You can do that? You can actually have that happen? No disappointment, no heartbreak ever? What's the answer? Thank you for asking. Practice having zero expectations. Eliminate all expectations. You eliminate all expectations, and you will never be disappointed again. Eliminate all expectations, and you will never have your heart broken again. When I experience this heartbreak, and when I'm talking about heartbreak, it usually involves family members. Oh, it's so disappointing. It comes back to me. All the finger pointing always comes back to me. I'm the one that had expectations of someone else. I'm the one that had expectations. And if I have expectations, just get ready. Get ready to run into a brick wall. Get ready to be disappointed. Get ready to have your feelings hurt. Get ready to that. If you want to speak with me live, the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Okay, here we go. Who are the people in your life that are subtracting from your happiness and why? Be honest. You can use first names or initials. So here is a homework assignment that I gave to students attending the Truth About Happiness classes in the fall semester. Who are the people in your life that are subtracting from your happiness and why? Be honest. So one of the answers is, nothing ever bothers him. Always complaining about people not meeting his expectations. Here's another person. And they're giving initials. Here's another person. Same as the first person. Always about himself and his issues. Never cares enough to ask about me and how I'm doing. Oh, I love it. What a great answer. And this is just from the same person, another person. I put everyone else's needs before mine. Always set myself up for disappointment because I think it should be reciprocated. You see, honesty with self. So here's a person who, I mean, come on, give them credit. So people in her life or his life, I don't even know if this is a woman or a man because they didn't leave their name. I love it. Don't leave your name. Nothing ever bothers him. Happiness, always complaining about people not meeting his expectations, only cares about himself, never cares enough to ask about how I'm doing or how I'm feeling, always putting, and I put someone else's needs before mine, always get upset and I get disappointed because I think what I do should be reciprocated. What a juicy, oh my goodness, answers. Number one, this is my perspective. I don't know if you can relate. I don't know if you can relate to any of this. But if you can, looking at someone else, making a judgment, because that's what's happening here, looking at someone else, making a judgment that this person or these people need to act differently. You need to act differently. You need to be more compassionate. You need to care about my needs. Stop complaining about others. What else? Never cares enough about to ask about how I'm doing. Always complaining about people not meeting his expectations. Well, what's the question? My question would be is, why do you have these people in your life? So if you are, and when I say have them in your life, I am not promoting getting rid of they're done. What I am saying, if the energy isn't compatible, if there's somebody in your life and the energy isn't compatible, that's on you. That's not on them. Don't tell anybody. You think that in my personal life I have people around me, surrounding me, that are complainers? That are negative complainers? No. And there's nothing wrong with the people that are negative and that are complainers. Let me be very clear. There's a whole community of them. They're people too. But if I'm spending a lot of my time around negative complainers, that's on me. And so what do I do? What is the practice? What is the practice when you have people like this? that are in your life. And some people, your family members, could be your mother or your children or your husband or your wife. So what do you do? What does the universe do to create more peace? What does the universe do? Distance with love. Let go. Distance with love. You don't distance yourself. Well, you can, but there's, you can feel the energy, the vibration. You don't distance yourself. Well, I'm never talking to them again because they're negative and they're complainers. No, they're done. You know those bold statements. I'm through with them. And then you have to make a big announcement about it. Why you're leaving them, and their reason why you're leaving them. It's usually because of them, what they're doing. Now it's called letting go with love, letting go with peace, letting go with an open door. Letting go with an open door. And whose responsibility is it to be distant? Whose responsibility is it to create the distance? If you're on the phone with someone who is negative and complaining, and the phone call is 2 hours, the phone call is an hour, the phone call is a half hour, the phone call is too long. My perspective, it's too long. See, these people, I call them, that are grandfathered in, whether they're in a family or not, people that in my life that are grandfathered in, all the conversations are short, very short, with love, though. And so when I talk about having a strategy, there is a solution. There is a strategy for any situation, for any for any situation to create more peace. So the question, who are the people subtracting for your happiness, the question now becomes, why are you keeping people in your circle that are subtracting from your happiness? See how it always comes back to the person in the mirror? That's why I don't have any friends. I mean, that's why... This light sometimes is bright. When the light is so bright, sometimes it hurts. It's painful. It's painful. Scratch that. It's uncomfortable being honest with self. Unless you practice it all the time, it becomes easier. Let's get back to this. List the type of people that annoy you. People that are rude, inconsiderate, selfish, or without compassion. Okay, here we go. Here's some of the answers. People that make fun of others. Uh-oh. People that are entitled. Ooh. People that don't listen. Hold on, I've got more. People that think the rules don't apply to them. People that are self-centered. People that are rude and patronizing. It's hard to read. People that are rude and patronizing and enjoy making people feel stupid. Wow. People that are closed-minded, that opinion is fact and not open to other perspectives. People that blame others instead of taking responsibility of their own lives. Wow, that's a lot of juicy people that. Ooh, what type of circumstances have the ability to push your buttons? Patronizing salespeople, family members that consistently spout the same political beliefs over and over again. Welcome. Welcome. And if you want to speak with me live, I got some people in the queue. If you want to speak with me live, the number here is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And then press the number 1. Press the number 1, and then you'll be in the studio queue, and I can let you come on live. Or you were just asked to speak on wisdom. Okay, let's see. Okay, wow, that's really good. Thinking the rules don't apply to them. Uh-oh, I think I may have that problem. Okay, here we go. Who are the people that are subtracting from your life and why? Be honest. Okay, here's the answer. Myself, my insecurity, self-doubt, fear that people can rob me of happiness and inner peace. Their expectations and judgments make me feel uncomfortable, not want to be with them. Okay? You know, what good questions. What good answers. Now, if somebody is making you feel uncomfortable, okay, if somebody is making you feel uncomfortable and you can feel that they're judging you, not accepting of you, I'm just going to tell you what I do. I'm not around people like that. I mean... I used to be one of those persons that was critical and judging and of people, and I let them know what was wrong. I let them know what was wrong with them. but the joke is, it was me. It's not them. It's always the person in the mirror. That's why this practice is challenging. Okay, here we go. Who are the people in your life that are subtracting from your happiness and why? And this is another initial. Almost always negative, consistently complaining, passive-aggressive, easily angered, has the right to be right, has the need to be right. Bad news, spreader, and judgmental. You know what's interesting? There are some people that are addicted to sharing bad news. I mean, can't wait to share what's on the news. Can't wait. Is there anything wrong with them? Do they need to change? Do they need to be different? No, they don't. It's up to you to decide to make a choice of how much time you want to spend around these people. But wanting them to be different or wanting them to be changed or wanting them to change, that is subtracting from your contentment. Wanting anyone else to be different or wanting anyone else to change so that you will feel better. You follow me? I want them to change so I will feel better. And I'm here to tell you that the work is not about anyone else changing or anyone else making adjustments. It's about you doing the work, you doing the changing. Type of people that annoy you, people that are negative, and people that are lazy. Oops. Oh, my goodness. I'm lazy. I wear it as a badge on my sleeve. If I'm wearing sleeves, bad customer service, complainers without solutions. You know, that is a thing, the complaining without giving a solution, sensory overload situations, loud noises, bright lights. Okay, then I'm coming to the last one. What type of people annoy you? Oh, this is so good. People that talk too much and don't give anyone else a chance. Oh, people that can't admit that they're wrong. Oh, my goodness. People who are selfish and inconsiderate. Oh, people that lack empathy. People that hold grudges forever. These are the type of people that annoy you. Isn't this a fascinating homework assignment? What type of circumstances have the ability to push your buttons? Very loud music, and when you ask for them to change or to turn the music down, they refuse to do it. drivers who create their own lanes when there is when there are no mergers. Smells like road rage to me. Let's see. My problem is I don't have enough people in my life. My best friends have all died. Oh, my goodness. Okay. You know, let me just address that really quickly. Let me address that one. My problem is I don't have enough people in my life. My friends have all died. You know, one of the things that I have found that is very, very fulfilling, very satisfying, and it never disappoints, is volunteering. Volunteering to work in a senior center, volunteering to work in a hospice facility, volunteering to work wherever, animal shelters, whatever you're passionate about or you have a lot of empathy for, volunteer. That volunteering takes me out of my life, me, no, this giving and serving and volunteer as much time as you have. Even if it's just talking to someone that doesn't have anyone to talk to, or even if it's just delivering meals, volunteer. Volunteer work is a guarantee to take, well, I don't know if it's a guarantee, but will most likely take your mind off of you. Oh my goodness, volunteering at the senior center. How many years was that? Almost 3 years, I believe. And boy, oh boy, those seniors are so mean. I was mistreated. Oh, it was horrible, but I wasn't mistreated. Not all the time. But even the mistreatment can be fun. Come on. You don't take anything personally. These people at the senior center, come on now. How can a senior be disrespectful or rude or inconsiderate? I mean, I give people passes. Why? Because I used to be just like that too. Because I had behavior that needed to be adjusted to. So who the hell am I to say, I don't need anybody to change. You be yourself, and I will make the determination of whether or not I want to be in your company. You be you. Here's another one. Okay, what type of people that annoy you? People that talk over me. People that have all the answers. People that don't speak back when I speak. What? People that don't speak back when I speak. Pretend to have it all together. Oh, wow. What type of circumstances have the ability to push your button? Slow drivers. People that walk in front of you when people ask questions that I didn't offer answers to. What? Don't you love people? Come on. They're so interesting. Who are the people in your life that are subtracting from your happiness? My ex-husband, he's trying to get spousal support from me, makes me feel that I won't be able to support myself and continue to live the lifestyle that I have been living. I feel angry because I always allow myself, I allow myself to stay in an unhealthy situation. I feel used by him. I felt stressed when I received mail from his attorney. You know, the interesting thing, I've been in relationships that, come on, when I didn't feel my own value, then I was in relationships that I was not valued. It still always comes back to me. Whatever relationship you find yourself in, know that relationship, even if it's serving you in some way, even to the point where you know what, I deserve to be in a different, I deserve to be in a different place, or I've had enough of this, next. Or, and you know, the thing about especially relationships that go back and forth, and I just call them arguing back and forth, there's conflict, there's little peace and more conflict. And I'm speaking, looking at my, you know, my past relationships. Well, guess what? It was still all my responsibility. But whether or not I stayed in the relationship, and if I was staying in the relationship, I had more things to learn. There are no regrets. I have no regrets about a relationship I was in, how long I stayed, what I did, how I talked, how someone talked back to me. It all is there in this intricate thing we call life. Life is an experience without judgment of this is good, this is bad. It's just an experience. And when you practice that each experience, there is an opportunity for more awareness, for more consciousness, for more growth, for more understanding, for more peace, guess what? That's what's going to happen. When you prioritize, when you make a conscious decision to rise above the programming, what are the program behaviors? We talked about it. Taking anything personally, thinking money, titles, or accomplishments create or cause contentment and inner peace. Complaining, being critical of yourself or others, needing to be right, being impatient, comparing yourself to someone else. Those are all level one programs that subtract from your happiness. There are three levels. That was level one. Level two, level three, 50, I'm up to 54, I think 55 now, program behaviors. So the practice is easy. Now, scratch that. The practice is clear. Happiness is a practice skill. Inner peace is a practice skill. It always comes back to the person in the mirror. And there is nobody that is outside of you can affect your personal vibration. With practice, I'm not saying right now, but with a lot of practice, you think a gnat can bother an elephant? Whew. Okay, this is a real good one. I already said that, slow drivers. And so that's just a little example of some of the answers I received. And when we talk about people that talk too much and don't give anybody a chance to talk, can't admit when you're wrong, people who are selfish and inconsiderate, people that lack empathy, hold grudges forever. And when we label others, it doesn't matter, anything negative, whatever you label anyone negative, whatever you label them, slow, stupid, impatient, rude, inconsiderate, they only care about themselves, all of that, put your seatbelt on right now. I'll wait. You may need a crash helmet too. Anytime you label anyone else, You are talking about yourself. You cannot label anyone rude or inconsiderate unless you own rude and inconsiderate. You label someone toxic, guess what? Who's toxic? The person in the mirror. That's a tough one. Trust me, it took me a while to understand that, get it, and believe it. But that's one of the reasons why I'm not going to say, well, they're aggressive, or they talk over. I mean, I recognize what people do, but I'm not going to label anyone. They're just being themselves. So either I accept who they are without judgment, or I don't. acceptance is universal. Non-acceptance of other people is the opposite of universal. The ego is not going to accept. The ego is not going to accept other people that are different. And you know the interesting thing is, well, this is, let me just me and then I'll wrap up the show. This is me. The interesting thing is, and I've said it a lot, I could point out what was wrong, what somebody else needed to do, what someone else needed to discover, how the, what they needed to practice. But all of that is a program, is looking out and finding fault with or finding something other than order, something other than this world is in a divine, is in divine order, something other than that, something other than not trusting that, believing that, knowing that this world is in divine order. Anything that contradicts is coming from a program, is coming from ego, is coming from lower consciousness. So it's the practice is just to be mindful. Who, what entity is coming up with this story? And notice this, when it is the ego coming up with a story that describes, that explains why something is happening, or that explains all of it after the word because. When you do come up with that story, know that you're limiting yourself because there's only one perspective. The ego can only muster up one perspective. Who's behind the curtain? Let's get that person that's from behind the curtain from out, let's get that person that's behind the curtain on the outside of the curtain. Outside of the curtain, we are more different than we are. Let's scratch that. We are more the same than we are different. Same type of challenges, same type of circumstance, same kind of focus. I mean, we're in a programmed world. Same kind of program. Whew. Well, that's the end of today's show. Thank you for listening. Reality Spirituality Radio is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And my website is RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. LinkedIn, my Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. My YouTube channel is a work in progress, but feel free to check out the few videos I do have on the YouTube channel. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. It was published in 2014. The new book, Program for Unhappiness, hopefully will be out and published within, I don't know, the end of the month, definitely before the end of the year. It's left the editor, last minute changes, Program for Unhappiness, and in that book is going to list the 54 program behaviors that subtract from your happiness on all three levels. And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe, your conscious energy, which is always evolving and always changing, always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself by accepting yourself in every moment. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, happiness specialist, you know who, Rebecca L. Norrington. And remember, happiness is a practice skill, and I promise you, the more you practice, the more peace you're going to find, and the more your experience in every moment reflects on what you practice. Have a conscious week. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, spirit.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Getting real,
spirituality.
Yeah,
time to get down.